Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Good morning, everyone, and greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we open your word, we're seeking for the presence of the Holy Spirit to be with us, so that the things that are said and done this morning, Father, are not ours, but yours. Now be with us throughout the remainder of this service, Father. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. I had been talking to you about this time of year and what and how most of us have been raised, and about the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so far we had gotten through chapter 1, but we hadn't gotten even to the birth of Jesus yet. So we're going to be getting to that this morning. And we're going to probably even get into his early years here on this earth. We've been through the Lord's mother's visit to her cousin Elizabeth. We've been through the birth of John the Baptist, which he was the one that God was sending to lead the people of that day and time to the Lord Jesus Christ and his ministry for that day and time, which was, we all know, that he came to fulfill the law. The man wasn't keeping the law. And was living in such sin and all. And he came to fulfill that law and to give you and I a new way and a new life. And to give us actually life throughout eternity in heaven. We'll all, everyone born, will live for eternity. But it's where you're going to live. It's what we need to be concerned with. And we know that more of them is going to be living on the wrong side than on the right side, because the Word lets us know that. But we're going into chapter 2 here now. And we're going to be getting into the birth of the Lord Jesus. We know, and Brother James and I was kind of talking about it this morning, that this is not really Jesus' birth month. We don't really know when that is. There's been several different months picked for that. One of the most popular is the month of September. But I had a Jewish calendar at one time that had Jesus' birthday as being in the month of Agrippa, which that month corresponds with our month of April. But the Bible doesn't really tell us what month it was. We need to live every day for Him, regardless of what mankind wants to call it. And we need to stay out of the pagan parts of the holidays. We know that there is a lot of paganism going on during the holiday of Christmas. And as Brother James and I were talking this morning, we start our families out, and as we have children coming, we start teaching them to lie. Because we lie to them and tell them there's a Santa Claus. And Santa Claus is one bringing their presents and all of this, that, and the other. So we start out by lying. Then we got Christmas trees and all kinds of decorations. We do know that the Bible tells us not to have anything to do with paganism or those that are honoring paganism. And we're not to have any part of it. And we need to be honoring every day as a day for Jesus, 365 days a year. We don't celebrate Him just once a year or twice a year, like they're trying to do now. Birthday on December 25th, and then His death on Easter. So let's begin here now with Luke chapter 2, verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass that the angels were gone away from then into heaven. The shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that opened the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. Pardon me. For mine eyes have seen the salvation which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and raising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword, pardon me, shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age, and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fasting and prayer night and day. And she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own city Nazareth. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover, and when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they saw him among their kinfolks and acquaintances. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Was ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth, and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. And may the Lord add his blessing unto the reading of this his word. And now may the Holy Spirit come forth and bring to you and I the message that God would have each one of us to hear from this scripture. And be with us always and forever. And once again, we ask God's blessing upon the reading of this word. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. We know that this tax was set with God's approval for one purpose. What we have just read here, we know from the prophets in the Old Testament, they're prophesying of the Lord Jesus Christ, where he was to be born and where he was to come from. They had prophesied his birth in Bethlehem. They had prophesied him being known as a Nazarene. And all of us that have read this time after time, we know and understand that that's exactly what happened. But you know, the miracles of God in his life, and if we will follow God and his word, we'll find that these miracles and things will work in our lives. And that's the only way they will. We have to walk in obedience unto the Lord and his word, or we're not going to receive anything. You know, I heard a man this morning preaching about different levels of God's people entering the kingdom of heaven. And he was preaching that you could take all these people that sits in the pews in the church and because they believe that Jesus was born and all, that they can make heaven their home. They don't have to do nothing for him at all. That's not what the Word tells us. But he was telling them they can enter the kingdom of heaven and they can live in heaven, but they just don't have any rewards. But unless you keep this word, you're not going to enter in to the kingdom of heaven. And if you keep this word, then you have to walk in obedience unto him and do the things he calls on you to do. And if you don't do that, you're not going to make heaven your home. And that's according to his word, not mine, but his. We know that Jesus came to give us life and to give it to us more abundant. Make it so we could live in hope and joy and in peace here on this earth. Because when you walk with him and in his work, regardless of what comes at you, you can still walk with joy in your heart. Now, you may have some things in the mind even that troubles you. Some things that Satan will bring against you. But you know that Jesus is there in you and you can walk with that heart full of joy. Today I walk alone, man-wise. Yet I'm not alone because I have the Lord Jesus Christ. I have the Holy Spirit of God living in me. My wife don't know me. She doesn't know who I am. She's not with me. I go to see her every day. She don't even know I'm there as her husband. That's hard. But I still can walk through the day with joy in my heart because I have the Lord Jesus Christ with me. I have the Holy Spirit with me. And I can walk with joy. And I can continue serving him. You heard me and Kenny talking a little earlier about him praying, driving. I do the same thing. Him preaching, driving. I do the same thing. But what I do most of when I'm driving is praising him and thanking him for what I have. And I am thankful that my older years has been the best years of my life. Because I walk stronger with him in my older years than I did in my earlier years. And I can walk with more peace and more joy in my heart, regardless of the circumstances. Now, do they bring me joy? No, they don't. What brings me joy is the Lord Jesus Christ in my heart. And that's where he's at. Now here, They'd been taxed, and they had to go back to their home cities. And Joseph, Mary, neither one was in their hometown. So they had to travel. Here she is, way into her pregnancy, they're traveling now to Bethlehem from Jerusalem so he could be taxed. It was a way back then of taking census. We have census today to tell who lives where and what they have, what they own, and so forth, so on. Way of keeping up to everybody. And that's what this was all about. But you see, the Lord God was using this to bring about that which was to happen, which was the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, because he was to be born in Bethlehem. Now the king of that day and time, Herod, he'd been told that the birth of this baby was to bring a king of the Jews. He's jealous. And he was afraid that this king was going to take his place. So he put out a decree. When the wise men wouldn't go back and let him know where the child Jesus was, he put a decree out then to kill all newborn male children from 2 years old and under. There's a whole lot written about all of this. We were told earlier in the scripture how the women would be crying and wailing for their children. It was not, because he'd had them killed. But Jesus was born there, and he wasn't really brought into this world as royalty. Here his mother had him in a stable. He didn't even have a room in an inn. Back then they didn't call them hotels, they were inns. They didn't have a room for him or his mother. And she had him in a stable. Put some hay in a manger. Manger, for those of you that might not know what a manger is, it's a food trough. And he was laid on a bed of hay. This is the way he came into the world. Now, this decree had been put out to kill all of the children. And God got to Joseph in a dream. We were talking about things we do in our sleep. Here Joseph is asleep. And God got to him in a dream and warned him. Told him to take the child and his mother and go to Nazareth, because he was to be called a Nazarene. God lines everything out to work his way. May not seem like that to us, just as the way things are going today. We don't like the way a lot of us going, do we? We don't like all this COVID-19. All this vaccine business. All this quarantine business. We don't like them things. But you see, all of that is working to bring about what the Word has told you and I about the Lord's coming for His church. We see it all around us. And if you really get in to the book of Revelation and sit down and really read the New Testament, start with the book of Acts and really read it, you begin to understand more. But before you get into God's Word, go to Him in prayer. Get sincere with Him. And you'd find that it would even help if, when you really want to understand God's Word, also fast with your prayer. God's Word tells you there are certain things that will only come by fasting and prayer. So that shouldn't be something that we never do. There's times I fast pretty often because there's things that I wonder about because I don't have the full understanding of it. So I can fast for a few days and pray, and God will give me the answer to it. He'll let me know. Now here, this same baby Jesus, as we was reading through this, we found out that after they went back to Jerusalem and he was now about 12 years old, as they was going back to Jerusalem, he come up missing. They were a day's journey out. They couldn't find him. They searched through the family and acquaintances and all. Couldn't find him. Looked for him for 3 days. Think about that. They were looking for him for 3 days. What do you think if you, one of yours got lost and you hadn't found him for 2 or 3 days? That's exactly what had happened there. Because you see, at that age, he knew he had to get started about his Father's work. And here we see all around us today adults well into years that think nothing about the Lord our God, nor His Word, nor the church. It's all the ways of the world and our own mind. What I want. What I want is not going to get me into heaven. It's what that Word tells me He wants. And I'm to give Him what He wants if I'm to make heaven my home. And he'll guide me. He'll guide me in the ways I need to go. But here he is. They find him in the temple. You see, he wasn't lost at all. He knew where he was, but his parents hadn't been paying any attention, and he got away from them. He was 12 years old. And it says here in verse 43, and when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it, had no idea, because they wasn't really keeping an eye on him. They'd been keeping an eye on him, but they knew when he left. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey. They sought him among their kinfolk and acquaintances. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem seeking him. Now they're going to turn back now and go see if they can find him. And they do. They find him. And it says, and it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. Pardon me. Now, this word doctors here in verse 46 actually means that they were rabbis and teachers of the Jewish law. The higher ups. And this is who he's sitting and having his discussion with. He's 12 years old. But you know why he could do that? He wasn't like most of us at that age. You see, at that age, the Lord Jesus was already filled with the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. The Spirit's given him his knowledge and the guidance, letting him know what to do. Now, he's sitting there hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and his answers. So he had to be really sharp, so to speak. Because he's astonishing these rabbis and these teachers because of his understanding and the answers he would give them. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. Why did you do this to us? If they'd kept an eye on him, they'd have knew why. Because when he started to leave them, they would have known it, and his parents would ordinarily. They'd ask him, what makes you think you need to go? But now they get the answer. After 3 days of worrying and wondering where he is, because he gives it to them, and he said unto them, how is it that you sought me? Was ye not that I must be about my Father's business? Don't you know I've got to be about my Father's business? And he sure wasn't talking about Joseph, because Joseph wasn't his real father. The Lord God, was his father. And he knew that Mary had been told why she was carrying him. She had been told why he was being born, what his duties would be, and all about it. And that's why he was letting them know it's time now for me to be about my father's business. And 50. And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And Mary should have. But that's just like a lot that come here that visits with us. They come in here. They'll sit through the service. They'll hear with their ears. But they gain nothing because they don't hear the word of God with the heart. So they go right back out into the world, going their same old way, instead of making any change whatsoever and getting into the word of God and coming back to the church. Over the past year, we've had enough come to visit in this church to almost fulfill it. Think about it. If you stop and think, you that have been here when a lot of it's happened, you know what I'm telling you is true. We had one whole family here that lived with my daughter. You remember them? We've had two Mennonite couples here, husband and wife, either. Look at the others that have come in and left. Look at the other family, the husband and wife and the two kids that came to church because they wanted something. They heard a message. They actually never came back. Because you see, they wasn't hearing with their understanding. They wasn't hearing with the heart. They were only hearing with the ears. And that ain't going to get us anywhere. Won't get us nowhere, hearing with the ears. It's what we hear with the heart, because it's with the heart that we bring that in to action. And it takes that acting upon the truth. You see, we can love the Lord Jesus Christ even, but we've got to love him in spirit and in truth. Not just one or the other. It's got to be with both. And where do we get the truth? Out of God's word. That's where the truth comes from. But so many just don't listen with the heart. And they go right back out in this world, right back into their old ways, doing just what they feel they want to do. Oh, they'll change a little for speech goes, but that's mainly all the change that happens. They speak about him with the lips, but they don't know him. They don't know him with the heart. But that's what it takes for us to make heaven our home, is to know him with the heart. And we're growing closer and closer each and every day of his coming for his church and his people. We don't know exactly the day, the hour, week, month, year. We don't know, but we do know it's close. We know that the things he has told us to watch for is all taking place. There's nothing left to keep him from coming. He can come at any moment. Think about it. Then think how you want to meet him. Do you really want to meet him the shape you're in? Or will you stand before him ashamed? And that's what most will do. They'll stand before him shamed. And they'll not hear, "Good and well done, thy faithful servant, enter into thy rest." They'll hear, "Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, because I never knew you." You see, we need to know him. We need that relationship with him. Just as his son here. Because you and I, when we are truly a child of God, we stand just as Jesus do. We stand as heir and a joint heir with Jesus. That's God's word. So how are we standing this morning? Are you standing as an heir and a joint heir with Jesus? What are you really doing for him? And are you walking by his word? Most don't. And they don't like messages preached like this. A lot of them will sit in church bored because they don't hear. And they'll sit there bored, not believing anything you're saying. And right back out into the world. And everything then is me, me, me. It's what I think, what I want. But you can't tell me that because I just don't believe that way. Don't matter what way you believe unless you believe his way. Unless you believe this word. That's the only belief that counts. Not mine, or for me to stand up here and tell you things I believe don't mean nothing. Unless it's backed by the word. All right. We finish now with chapter 2. I don't know where God will take us to tonight, this evening. I'll be praying about that, getting into that later on this afternoon. See where he'll lead me. I don't know whether he will go on with chapter 3 of Luke or whether he's going to take me and put me back in Galatians. All right, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we close your word, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you for a time and a place that we can come to share your word. Now, Father, your saints, wherever they are in the world, we ask the Holy Spirit to keep them safe, keep them in health, and see to their needs, Father, because a lot of them walk in dangerous places to where if they are caught preaching your gospel, Father, will mean imprisonment and death. Now, Father, for Israel and Jerusalem, we pray for peace for them. Because we know they live in very little peace. But even more than that, Father, we pray that they will accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah, as their King of Kings and Lord of Lords, that one day Israel will be known as a land for Jesus. And this land of ours, Father, a land without any reason to walk away, turned its back and has walked so far away, Father, taking the Lord Jesus Christ out of every place that he was in, trying to do away with him completely, Father. Help us. Help us, Father, to remove those from office that's against your church, that's against the Lord Jesus Christ. And help us to replace them with those, Father, that will work for the church and work to put Jesus back into all the places he's been taken out of. And to help us to bring this nation, Father, to repentance so it can be healed. And our government put back upon the foundation in which it was founded, and that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, our prayer list this morning, as each name is called, may the Holy Spirit touch them to fulfill whatever need they have, whether it be spiritual, physical, or financial. Kenny Powers, Mark Pavlik, Amy's husband Tom, Amy and Tom's young son Jacob, for Terry Coates, for Dennis Breeden and his wife Tina, for the brothers in Christ here in Brandenburg. Father, these all fulfill whatever need they have, Father, helping them to become what you want them to be. And Pastor Smalls and the Glory Bound Church of Irvington, Pastor Randy Johnson, Pastor Luke Bess, the Church of God of Brandenburg, for the Meade County General Baptist Church, the pastors there, Pastor Don Hilton, Pastor Alan Thomas, Pastor Tony Galladay, Pastor Eric and his wife Jackie, Father, and that little full gospel church of God there at Ekron. Father, make these churches lighthouses, but not only lighthouses, Father. Also, make them a place of refuge to where the lost walking in darkness can go and find the light, and that light being the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, for my three friends in Pakistan, Pastor Haroon Islam, Pastor Barak Mishai, Pastor Zephron Iron. Father, these all, keep them safe, keep them in health, and see to their needs. Now, Father, Jimmy Emery, Sharon Montbello and her mother, for Sue and David, for Palance, for Kelly Smith and his wife, for Karen, Father, and for those that are here with me, Brother James, Brother Dennis, for those, Father, that are with us by phone, Brother Kenny Powers, Terry Coates, Father, we all stand in need of that healing touch of the Lord Jesus Christ. Touch us, Father. Touch us in mighty and great ways. And use us, Father, to spread the gospel. And help us to build this church, Father. And to build it according to your word. And we ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Remember, everyone, God willing, we can all be together again at 6 p.m. this evening. So until then, have a great day. Walk with God. He'll walk with you. Bye-bye now.